You have your Bibles. We're going to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 13. Won't be long today. Just want to share with you a word that I feel like the Lord placed on my heart. Luke, chapter number 1, verse 13. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." I'm going to preach to you for just a few moments. God opportunities will never be missed. Would you help me pray one more time? Would you just lift your hands and your voice? Lord, we love you today. God, your word is such an important part of what this service is about. I pray that you would strengthen somebody today through your spirit, through your word. Lord, we trust you today in all things. Lord, let this be a day of remembrance for them, God, that you spoke into their heart and their lives. We trust you in all these things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. What a great time of the year. You know, I wish there was some snow on the ground outside. I know some of you aren't in agreement with me, but if it's going to be cold, it might as well snow. You know, if we're at to suffer with 20 degrees in the morning, it might as well have some beauty along with it. But this time of year is full of memories and tradition and lights. I can remember, and maybe somebody can help me with this. I don't remember where it was at. It was here somewhere in town within 10 or 15 minutes drive. When I was a kid, we would go and park, and you'd get out and walk through the lights. Does anybody remember that? It was like Stables and like the Christmas Story. Maybe, I don't think I'm making that up, but what was it? Country Club? Holy Walk? That may have been what it was. I can remember those. I have memories of going after church one night and walking through those. And we drove just a week or so ago with my in-laws up to Shipshawana to drive through lights and see some of that. It's all part of the tradition, and we love all that, and we appreciate the tradition of that. And I also know the other thing you do normally on Christmas is that you preach about the birth of Christ, and I didn't do that in the beginning of Sunday school, and I'm not doing that right now. So hopefully you're not too upset with me, but I feel like this is connected to it, and I feel like the Lord gave me just a word to share with somebody here today. The Gospel of Luke opens up with an account of a fallible priest and closes with an account of an infallible priest. The song we sing around here that I really enjoy, "Even when I don't see him, he's working." Right? Even if I can't tell what's going on, I know that God is working. How many have ever been to a big city, or maybe we have this in Warsaw, I don't remember, I've seen it, but you go along the sidewalks and they have street painters or street artists that will paint a picture for you for a small price. And I've noticed before that, and I'm sure they do it on purpose, but they'll start with something up in the corner. Just something little up in the corner, and they leave it alone, and they go back to the regular area of the paper, and they begin drawing it. And you don't really understand how it even connects. Like, what are they doing? Until the very end, all of a sudden, they'll do one little line here or there, and everything just connects, and it makes sense. The picture just comes alive, and it makes sense as to what they're painting or drawing. They just bring it back at the last second. Before you didn't know what it was for the most part, but then when they drew those final lines, it made sense. God is like that in many ways. He's not very good about giving me all the information I think I need. He's not good at that. I like to have more instructions than come with the package most times. That doesn't mean that God doesn't do it right. It just reveals my need probably to trust him more. That lack of instructions or lack of insight sometimes bothers me. But most often the details about what God is doing in your life will always follow an obedience to a command. Once you begin to take the step that he tells you or asks you to take, then there'll be some more things that come along the way. With Noah, it was go build a boat. And when he committed to that, he told him how to build the boat. With Abraham, it was go leave a country and go to another one. And then the instructions came on how to travel once he started traveling. There was an obedience factor that then turned into more commandments along the way. With Moses, it was you're going to go to Pharaoh's house. And we don't understand how that's going to work out. But ultimately, we know he was the deliverer of God's people. It just is how God operates. And one of the greatest lessons that I learned while at IBC was in a class that was never meant to take place. the class was, but the teacher wasn't. It was a last-minute substitution, and a gentleman showed up to teach because somebody was sick, and he really didn't have a full lesson for us. It wasn't a full hour of taking lecture notes. It was a simple thought that just sticks with me even this morning. It was Psalms chapter 37 and verse 23, and it's simply this: the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Here's what he taught us that day. It's my job to be good. It's God's job to order. It's my job to be obedient. It's God's job to direct. We can't be confused today on what our job is. Our job is not to know the end from the beginning. He's got that covered. Our job is not to be able to figure out the puzzle from the first piece. He's already got that handled. Our job is to simply be obedient. That's what we're called to do. And if you'll do that, I've just got a promise today that I can share with you. God's opportunities will never be missed. If you're faithful to Him, if you're being obedient to Him, it doesn't matter where you feel like you're at in life. If you will be obedient to the plan of God in your life and the instructions that you do have, you're not going to miss out on what God has for you. He's not going to allow you to miss a turn if you're following His directions. The greatest promise today that a true believer can carry with him is the hope of Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. We get that confused sometimes too. It's not my purpose. It's not my plan. It's His. And if we'll trust Him, everything will work out in the beginning and the ending. We just have to believe Him in the middle. Because there are many today, including myself, that pray, Lord, bless my life. But how many have the courage to pray the prayer, Lord, I place the direction of my life in Your hands. Every choice and every step will be Yours to make first. That's a harder prayer to pray. Lord, bless my life is not hard. Where's it at, God? Here's a funnel. Just throw the present down. Bless my life. That's one prayer. But it's a whole other prayer to say, God, I don't know what it is You have for me or want me to do or where do I need to go. But if You'll just show me a step, I'll take the step. If You'll show me a direction, I'll go in that direction. God will bless you. For those of you that will pray that prayer, there will not be a God moment that is missed in your life if you're in alignment with Him. Our scripture this morning that we read here in the first chapter of Luke gives us a little bit of an insight into the life of perhaps one of the greatest men in the Bible. And although there's not much scripture space allotted for this man named Zechariah, he's a great man. I'm going to share something with you I feel like God shared with me. And in this story, if you would read through the rest of this first chapter, it's an October morning. We know this from a historical account. Zacharias is a country priest that is on his half-yearly turn of duty in the temple at Jerusalem. They had times where they were allotted to go to the temple and work, along with the other priests in his faction. They were gathered to await the casting of lots that would determine which of them would have the honor of offering the incense in the holy place. You have to understand this. This is a very highly coveted privilege, and it was never granted to a priest more than one time in his lifetime. Luke chapter 1, verse 6, we kind of get an insight to who this man was. It says, and they were both righteous, him and his wife, both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and all the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. It's a great man. What an incredible testimony to have the Holy Ghost write in His Word that you and your wife were both blameless and righteous before God, walking in all the commandments of the Lord. That's pretty awesome. But verse 7 says they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. They were elderly. They were getting up to the age where you didn't have children. They were perhaps considered past their prime and past their valuable years, past their important years, and they were still yet serving God. I think it's important to recognize that today. How important is it today to maintain a walk with God at every stage and age of life? It's one thing to come out of the chute when you get the Holy Ghost and you're ready to take on hell, like they say, with that proverbial squirt gun. And you're excited and you're all about it. But it's a whole other thing to be 30 and 40 years down the road and sometimes not having the answers to your prayers revealed to you and still serving the Lord. We've got to understand our walk with God is not predicated on how many chalk marks we can put that he answered in our lives. Our walk with God is predicated on the fact that he died and rose again and loved me enough to shed his blood for me and sent his spirit down inside of me that I could live an overcoming life. And if he doesn't answer every prayer I pray, he's still worthy of me walking with him this morning. That's how you live for God. Serving God for the fact that it's just the right thing to do. I don't require special privilege. I don't require a pillow to prop me up because of what I am and what I've done. I'm just serving God because that's what I'm supposed to do. Not only are they dealing with barrenness as a sadness, but it's also looked upon with disdain in this culture. Can you imagine being Zacharias? This is the second time. Two times a year you would have a week or so period of time that you would go serve in the courtyard of the temple. And this is the second time that he has been there. And you've been doing it since you were a young man, faithful. But you still have no kids. No junior. Nobody to put on the end of your lineage. And it's one thing to deal with that hurt when you're up by your house by yourself. But it's another thing entirely to show up again with all of your friends that you've served with. And they're talking about how their children are growing up. And how they're even got maybe grandchildren on the way. And you're still dealing with this emptiness. You understand the dynamics of what Zacharias was dealing with. Trying not to complain or hate or pout, but you still got to wonder why. Struggling with that. This group of priests were waiting around for the lots to be cast as to who would be granted that privilege of going into the holy place to burn incense. You might have showed up twice a year, but the odds were almost like a lottery, if you'll forgive the term, because you're only getting one shot at this when you get your name drawn. And now Zacharias is an old man, and He'd hoped for a long time for this day to come, and 50 other men, 49, were with him hoping the same thing. The Bible tells us that his name was drawn. I'm sure it was an amazing excitement for him and honor. He was chosen to go into the holy place and light incense, and the morning sacrifice began around 9 a.m. and the temple gates opened, and three blasts from the silver trumpet of the priest summoned the people of the city to a spirit of worship. And it was like a day, it was like the same for everybody else except for him. Today was different for Zacharias. The priests on the pinnacle of the temple gave the signal for the beginning of the services of the day. And then one of the assistants for Zacharias reverently cleaned the altar and then left. And then as a second reverently placed the live coals taken from the burnt offering on the altar, worshiping, then left. And the organ sounded throughout the temple. And then Zacharias entered into the holy place. That's what's going on before this scripture that we read. Walks into the holy place, only lit by the seven-branched candlestick on the right, holding that golden censer. On his left hand was the table of showbread. And in front of him, beyond the altar, was that thick curtain which separated the Holy of Holies. And the people outside were silent in worship. Only Zacharias went into the holy place, awaiting for that kindling of incense on the altar, and when he too would bow in worship and then withdraw out of the holy place. This was only supposed to happen this way. Usually, this is what happened. After that burnt offering was gone up before the Lord, typically that priest would then walk out and would give this blessing to the people. Say, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel and I will bless them." That's what was supposed to happen that day. But that's not what happened. As this burnt offering of incense was going up before the Lord, the Bible tells us that an angel appeared, and it was Gabriel, God's messenger angel. Gabriel comes down to Zacharias with a message. He says, "Hey, listen, Zacharias, I've got something for you." I'm sure it startled him. Even in the middle of performing something so supernatural like he was, it was surprising to him to see the supernatural. How many times do we get caught off guard walking into the presence of God and God moving in our midst and we thought, "Wow, how did that happen?" Maybe because we've become so used to walking into the presence of God. This was Zacharias. He was a priest of many years, and somehow he was caught off guard by the supernatural. And the angel speaks to him and says, "Listen, you're going to have a son. You and Elizabeth, you are going to have a son, and your name for the baby is going to be John." When he spoke to him, the verb that is here, and I want you to catch this today because this is the whole point of my message. The verb that is used here very possibly indicated this phrase: I'm going to answer a prayer for you that you don't even pray anymore. Somebody hear me today. I'm going to answer a prayer for you, Zacharias, that you put on the shelf a long time ago. Oh, it was a prayer that you daily brought before me for a long time, but there became a moment in your life that you just thought it was too late, and so you placed it up on a shelf. And so I've come to you today, Zacharias, not to answer the prayer that you just prayed 5 minutes ago, but I'm going to answer a prayer that you put on a shelf and forgot all about, because that's the kind of God I can be for you. And so he reaches in there and he tells him, listen, Zacharias, I'm going to open up the womb of your wife, and you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. How many prayers have we hung up on the shelf because we didn't know what else to do with them and they weren't answered? I'm telling you, the God that we serve is not limited by the prayer that you just most recently prayed. The Bible says the tears of the saints are bottled up. The prayers go before him. There are prayers that you have prayed in this room that you've not seen the answer for and you've stopped believing for. But the God that we serve today is able to step in the fullness of time and begin to open up doors that you didn't even realize were there. But you got to trust him, because God's opportunities won't be missed if you're falling in line with what he's asking of you. If you're walking with him, if you're being obedient to him, you don't have to worry about the right timing, because God has that handled. So you're going to have a baby. No wonder he doubted. No wonder he was like, I don't know about this, Gabriel. How do I respond to you messing with an old wound that wasn't healed? How do we respond when God begins to mess with something that wasn't healed properly? Do we listen? Do we be obedient to what he says? Or we try to bring up and drudge up those hurts and say, well, why now? I've been praying about this for years and you never touched it. Why now? No, Zacharias didn't do any of that, but he did doubt. Really? Are you sure you got the wrong person or the right person? I just happened to be drawn today. Are you sure you weren't waiting on somebody else for their turn? Because this doesn't make sense to me. No, it's you, and you're going to name the child John. John means the grace of Jehovah. Zacharias means God remembers, and Elizabeth means his oath. So God remembers his oath, and it produces the grace of Jehovah. God remembers his promise, and it produces mercy. That's what's coming out of this. God remembers. God doesn't forget. There's not one promise that he's given you that he hasn't remembered. It may not have come to pass yet. It may not have come to fruition yet, but God remembers everything that he whispered to you in a moment of prayer. Every dream that he slid into your sleep and said, hey, this is something I've got for you. He's not forgotten, but there is timing, and you've got to trust in that today. Zacharias is not really sure what's going to happen. Think about all this. Is this really happenstance? Maybe it's just a coincidence, but then you'd also have to discount the fact that Mary was about to be visited by the same angel. The same angel was going to have, you have two people on opposite sides of the spectrum. You have Elizabeth, who is well stricken in age and her womb was barren, and you have Mary, who doesn't even have an open womb yet. The same angel, at the right time for both of them, answered prayers. God's not limited by age. God's not limited by your plans. God's not limited by your response even sometimes. But in this case, Zechariah doubted. I don't know how this could be. You think God didn't produce this in the right timing? You don't think it was minutely orchestrated that it needed to be at the exact right time? Of the thousands of priests, these two people, well past childbearing age, were directly told by a messenger of God that their new boy was going to be the forerunner to God manifest in the flesh. Messiah's brush cutter, the preacher with one message. You don't think this was on purpose? In the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, the last thing that God speaks before 400 years of silence, let me tell you what it was. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Last thing he spoke before 400 years of silence. Now listen to the first thing he spoke after that. Luke chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Talking to Zechariah still. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, or Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You don't think timing is just right in God's time? For 400 years, he was waiting on this moment. The last thing he speaks before he goes silent for 400 years is exactly where he picks up after he begins to speak. Don't tell me God forgets. Don't tell me God doesn't remember what time it is. Don't tell me that God doesn't have everything orchestrated in your life and in mine to the exact moment it needs to be. Gabriel looked at him and said, listen, since you don't believe and because there's doubt in your mind, I'm going to give you the gift of muteness until this baby is born. You don't even get to tell anybody about it. You better be careful when you start asking God for more signs than his word that he's already spoken. Now he's got to walk out of that temple, that tabernacle, and he can't even pronounce the blessing on the people, let alone tell them what happened inside there. For 9 months, he can't speak until his son Jonathan is born. This wasn't by chance. It wasn't random selection. It wasn't that whoever was chosen that day was going to get this promise. God was waiting on Zacharias. God had been creating the conditions for which Zacharias and Elizabeth would find themselves in. God was allowing this barrenness to be there for however many years he needed to be there until Mary was ready on the scene. God was allowing the conditions that they found themselves in. God, why are you allowing this in my life? Why do I have to walk this road? Why do I have to deal with these issues? Maybe, perhaps, he's bringing you to a point where you can be used. Zacharias and Elizabeth, I'm sure, would tell you they would have much rather not dealt with this situation for the 40 or 50 years that they did. But the result they received out of this, out of their obedience, out of their faithfulness, out of their ability to say, I don't like where I'm at, but I'm still going to serve God. Out of their obedience to say, I don't even agree with what God's asking of me, but I'm going to do it anyways because I know that God, his opportunities won't be missed if I'll just walk where he tells me to walk. And because they're willing to be faithful in spite of what's going on in their lives. I'm afraid sometimes we're so caught up in living for God because of what he gives us that if we had to walk a few years without any answered prayers or blessings in our life, I don't know how many of us would still be sitting in here today. Faithful in spite of. That's where they're at. God's created the conditions for which they're in, and then he doesn't even give Zacharias the satisfaction of telling anybody until it happens. Of the thousands of priests, of the thousands of days, of the thousands of years, God was prepping a guy who simply just learned how to be faithful in the small things, to be the precursor to the greatest event to ever sweep mankind. God's opportunities will never be missed by a godly man or a godly woman who can simply do the right thing for a long period of time. That's as simple as it gets. Just do the right thing. Just follow his word. Just be obedient to his voice. You don't have to figure out what's going to happen. You don't have to wonder how it's going to work out. I've just got to be obedient. That's as simple as I can make it today. Because Zacharias and Elizabeth were willing to be obedient in spite of. They were able to bring John the Baptist into the world, who would proclaim the way of the Lord, who would be the forerunner of Christ, who would begin the baptism all around there, and he would be the one who would baptize Jesus himself. He would be the one to introduce Jesus as the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. That's only because his parents were willing to be obedient in spite of. Sometimes I think we want the glory. All the glory went to John the Baptist, and then he even had to give it up and give it to Jesus. If we can be willing to say, it's not my will, it's your will. It's not my purpose, it's your purpose. Every opportunity that needs to be made, God will meet at the exact right time. Randy, if you'll help me with the music. One of the greatest honors bestowed on someone was not given to a prestigious, well-known, highly decorated priest. Just an unsuspecting, faithful servant who did whatever he could to move the kingdom forward. You don't have to worry about God forgetting you and not knowing where you are, because God knows exactly where you are, and God knows exactly what his plan is for you. His opportunities won't be missed today. His timing will not be messed up today if you trust him, if you can be faithful, and if you can be obedient. Would you stand with me this morning? I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but I know it's somebody. You've been faithful for a long time, but you're struggling because you haven't seen the completion of what you feel like God wants to do in your life and in your marriage and in your family. I've just come to encourage you in this Christmas season. Listen, I said it in the first service. We get excited about Bethlehem, about the shepherds and stars and wise men and the stable and all that that means to us, as we should. But before that could ever happen, there had to be a Zacharias and Elizabeth who said, I'm just going to be faithful. I'm just going to be obedient. I know people are talking about me. I know people make fun of me. I know people probably say things behind my back, but I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be obedient to what God has for me, because it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Amen. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of me except for him. God knows my heart, and God knows whether I'm being faithful or obedient. God knows if I'm in it just for me or if I'm in it for the kingdom. God knows. And if I'll just be obedient, he'll take care of everything else. I'm not going to miss out on anything. I'm not going to miss out on what God has for me. As long as I don't take that into my own hands and I just leave it in his and I remain faithful, God's opportunities will not be missed. I'm encouraging you today. God's not forgotten you. God knows exactly what, God knows what you're walking through right now. He knows the thoughts that you're thinking as I'm speaking to you this morning. And he's come today to just encourage you. I know where you are. I do have a plan. I do have a purpose. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. It's my job to be obedient. It's God's job to order. Would you just lift your hands in this place right now? Lord, I brought your word today. I know, God, that there's somebody in this room that needs to hear what I've just said. And not just hear it with our ears, God. We're good at hearing with our ears and not our hearts. God, I pray that somehow this word, not my words, your word, God, would get past everything else that's on the exterior, God, and it would get into the heart that's questioning, the heart that's a little bit worried about where they're at, the heart, God, that's a little bit frustrated about their condition right now. That heart, God, I pray it would be open to your word this morning, that it would bring peace and it would bring comfort, and let them know, God, today that you're right beside them. You've never left them. You've never forsaken them. They're right where they need to be. You've got purpose for their life. You've got purpose for their life. You've got a plan for them if we'll trust and be obedient to you. Come on, just a moment longer. Will you talk to him? Would you just use your own words this morning, and would you just reach out to him this morning? God, I don't want to miss anything you've got for me, so I'm going to trust you. I may not see it, but I'm going to trust you. I may not understand how it works out, but I'll trust you. Because, God, I want to be a part of whatever you've got going. I want to be a part. If it's birthing John the Baptist and letting him do his thing, I'll do it. If it's going out and speaking in the wilderness and being the weird one that baptizes Jesus, I'll do that. Or if it's just being faithful to the house of God and doing what you've asked me to do, God, I'll do that. But I don't want to miss what you've got for me, so I'm staying right where you put me. I'm growing where you plant me, God. And I'm trusting you in the process. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I know that this isn't a typical Christmas message, neither one today have been. But I believe it's important for somebody to have heard this today. For all of us, because there are times that all of us walk a road of maybe frustration. We all walk times on roads that are kind of paved with questioning. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, I put questioning aside, even if I don't understand. And I trust him. I trust him. If you can trust him, he'll work everything out in his time. 400 years of silence. Two cousins, years apart. God worked it exactly how it was supposed to be done. There was a lot more waiting on Elizabeth's part than there was Mary's, but both of them were in the will of God. So it doesn't matter if you've been waiting 2 years or 20 years or 70 years. As long as you're faithful and obedient, God's got the rest taken care of. I'm thankful for that today. I'm thankful for that today. What an assurance. What an assurance that God has everything I need in the palm of His hand. Amen, amen. Let's pray one more time in dismissal today. I'm just gonna pray over you if I can do that. God, I pray that one more time you encourage somebody in this room. Strengthen them. God, I want them to feel seen today. I want them to feel acknowledged by your Spirit, not me, but by your Spirit today. The prayers that they've been praying, you're acknowledging those prayers. The things that they've been wondering, you're acknowledging those things today, and you're assuring them today that you've got them where they need to be. Be faithful, be obedient, be willing. Whatever you've got for me, God, I want to walk this road. I don't understand it, but I trust you today. If you can do that today, I promise you, you're not going to miss God's opportunities. Strengthen them today. Strengthen our families. Strengthen our church. Strengthen our marriages, God. Help us, Lord, to do whatever we can do, our part, to further the kingdom of God in our families, in our communities, our churches, our state. Lord, we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen.